It is hard to imagine a more provocative speech. After all, the new administration's Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, was an outspoken advocate of a defense doctrine based on massive retaliation. And yet, here was the father of the atomic era declaring that the fundamental assumptions of the country's defense policy were laced with ignorance and folly. The nation's most famous nuclear scientist was calling upon the government to release heretofore closely guarded nuclear secrets and to discuss candidly the consequences of nuclear war. Here was a celebrated private citizen, armed with the highest security clearance, denigrating the secrecy that surrounded the nation's war plans. As word spread through Washington's national security bureaucracy of what Oppenheimer had said, many were appalled.
Louis Strauss was seething.
On the other hand, most of the lawyers and investment bankers listening to Oppenheimer's speech at the council came away impressed. Even the new president of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he later read the speech, was taken by the notion of candor. As a former military officer, Ike understood Oppenheimer's vivid rendering of the two major powers as two scorpions in a bottle. Eisenhower had seen the disarmament panel report and he found it thoughtful and wise. Highly skeptical of nuclear weapons, he told one of his key White House aides, C.D. Jackson, who had been Henry Luce's right-hand man at Time Life, that atomic weapons strongly favor the side that attacks aggressively and by surprise. This the United States will never do. And let me point out that we never had any of this hysterical fear of any nation until atomic weapons appeared upon the scene. Later in his presidency, Eisenhower would feel compelled to rebuke a panel of hawkish advisers, caustically observing, "You can't have this kind of war. There just aren't enough bulldozers to scrape the bodies off the streets." For a time, it seemed Oppenheimer's views might influence the new president.
But Louis Strauss, who had contributed generously to Eisenhower's campaign, was appointed the president's atomic energy advisor in January 1953,
and then in July, he was elevated to the job he had bought, chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission.
Strauss, of course, violently disagreed with Oppenheimer's notion that the public should be informed about the nature of America's nuclear stockpile, or that matters of nuclear strategy should be publicly debated.
Openness, he thought, would serve no purpose other than to relieve the Soviets of trouble in their espionage activities.
So Strauss now took every opportunity to sow suspicion in Eisenhower's mind about Oppenheimer. The new president later remembered someone, he thought it was Strauss, telling him that spring that Dr. Oppenheimer was not to be trusted. On May 25, 1953, Strauss dropped by FBI headquarters to talk with D.M. Ladd, one of Hoover's aides. Strauss was scheduled to see Eisenhower that afternoon at 3:30.
He told Ladd that Oppenheimer had an appointment to brief the president and the National Security Council in a few days, and he was very much concerned about Oppenheimer's activities. He had just learned that it had been Oppenheimer who had hired David Hawkins, a suspected communist, to work at Los Alamos in 1943. In addition, Oppenheimer, he said, had announced that he was sponsoring the appointment of Felix Browder, a brilliant young mathematician who happened to be the son of Earl Browder, former head of the Communist Party of America.
Claiming that he had checked Browder's references at Boston University and found that his record there was not very favorable, Strauss told Oppenheimer that Browder's appointment would have to be put before a vote by the Board of Trustees.
The trustees eventually voted 6-5 against Browder. But by then, Oppenheimer had already offered Browder the appointment.
When Strauss challenged him on this, Oppenheimer claimed to have called Strauss' secretary and informed her that he was going to give Browder the appointment unless he heard otherwise from the board. Strauss was infuriated with Oppenheimer's high-handedness, exercised, he thought, to no other purpose than to extend a favored position to the son of America's most famous communist. Finally, Strauss told Ladd that he was suspicious of Oppenheimer's contacts with the Russians in 1942, a reference to the Chevalier affair,
and the fact that he is alleged to have delayed work on the hydrogen bomb.
In view of all these facts, Strauss asked Ladd if the FBI would have any objection if he briefed Eisenhower on Oppenheimer's background that afternoon. Ladd quickly reassured Strauss that the Bureau had no objection to this.
After all, he said, the FBI already had passed all its information on Oppenheimer to the Attorney General, the AEC, and other interested government agencies.